This is our first Mass to celebrate together, and I will be sharing some words at each of our Masses. I just want to be clear that I'm leaving the history and the theology of our visit here to Amir and to Steve. Hopefully during these Masses and in my homilies, I'll be able to just simply give you a personal reflection, just something to meditate upon, maybe in association with the various places that we are privileged to celebrate Eucharist. Let me begin today, too, by mentioning this is our first full day as a church awaiting our new Pope. His Holiness Pope Benedict officially retired last evening, and now we are without a Pope, and our prayers now turn in a very special way to our cardinals, that they will be able to use this time to be open to the Spirit in their own lives, that they will be able to understand what it is that the Spirit is calling the Church to, and as a brotherhood, as a fraternity, that they will come to an understanding and discern God's call for our next Pope. So we pray for them in a very special way in these upcoming days. It was Pope Benedict who called for us to celebrate this year of faith. And we use that word faith in a lot of different ways, as a noun, as an adjective, as a verb. When we're talking about what it is that we believe, the dogmas of the Church, the sacraments, we refer to that as our faith, the Catholic faith. Jesus is God and man. They are three persons in one God. So we use faith to describe that. We also use faith to describe our response to God in life, our trust in the Lord, our commitment, as it were, to God. And we also use the word faith in a similar sense of hope, of trust, that we rely, we not only commit ourselves to the Lord, but we rely on His providence, His guidance. So we use that word faith in various ways. When we talk about Mary as a young woman and the element of faith in her life, I think it's important to realize that Mary did not have the benefit of the dogmas of the Church that you and I have. She did not have the benefit of knowing that Jesus, our Savior, would suffer, die, and rise from the dead. She had a very deep faith that came to her from her Jewish background and her Jewish faith. She knew the prophets. She knew the law. She would understand where the Messiah fit into that place. But to understand Jesus, to understand resurrection, would be a bit much in expecting of Mary. So here's this young girl who was visited by God's messenger, the angel. And she responds through a commitment and a trust in God to do whatever it is that God asks of her. Her faith doesn't have all the answers. Mary's a perfect example of knowing that the Lord isn't asking us to have a blind faith. Mary had questions, and she asked Gabriel one very important one: how can this be, since I do not know man? That wasn't any doubt in Mary's voice. It was just the fulfilling of her faith statement. She didn't just blindly say yes. She understood clearly that the Lord was calling her to something very special. And so as we are here in the place where Mary really began the commitment of the Christian Church in saying yes to God for all that the Lord Jesus was to do for us, she becomes, in a sense, a model for each of us. I like to think that although we talk about Mary as an example, She's someone that we should follow. I like to think that we're really called to follow Jesus, to imitate Jesus, to be like Jesus in all things. And when I think of Mary, I think of the word identify. I try to identify with Mary. I try to understand how she is so much like me, and I am so much like her. I know that I'm not like her. I know even worse that I'm not like Jesus. But I can identify more with Mary because she is being called by the Lord. And each of us is called by the Lord to have faith, to have trust. Even if we have questions, despite our questions, not to waver and to say yes to the Lord. My experience of life and of priesthood, we Christians aren't much different in many ways to those who either do not know Jesus or do not believe. We Christians, when life gets difficult for us, when we are challenged, when our faith, in a sense, is truly tested, that's when we waver. In Mary's case, when she was confronted with a challenge and the great call, that's when her faith was the strongest. That she was able to commit herself to the Lord. Why? Because she knew her faith depended upon total reliance on God. And that's what I think is so difficult for us as Christians. It's very hard for us to rely on God. While we say we believe, while we say we trust, so many times, if we can't see the whole picture, if we can't control all that's happening, we begin to waver. Do you think Mary understood at that moment with the angel what it would be like to be a young woman, unbetrothed, to have a child who would be the savior of the world? Do you think as Mary was watching her son Jesus suffer and die on the cross that she completely understood that and was prepared for it? If she was, she'd be walking around on Good Friday with a smile. But she entered into the suffering of Jesus, and she never wavered. As we come on this pilgrimage and we walk in the same pathways as Mary and Jesus and the apostles, we can think of how the apostles wavered so many times. We should reflect on our own wavering from time to time. Those times when we say we're people of faith, and we come up and receive the Eucharist and say, I believe. And then when that difficulty hits us, all of a sudden we fall apart. Mary must be the person we identify with, that we understand that in every call is God's grace. In every challenge is God's power. And in knowing that, we can truly commit ourselves to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. As we receive the Eucharist today, in this holy spot where the Word became flesh among us, we ask the Lord Jesus to give us the faith of his Mother Mary. God love you.